This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm David Lazarus of the Los Angeles Times. The South by Southwest Festival builds itself as a paradise for networking. And that's why everyone from musicians to app developers to bloggers to all the cool kids from school have flocked to Austin this week for the chance to be part of the next big thing and maybe get a paying gig out of it as well. So if the name of the game is networking, does everyone enjoy the same advantages? The jobless rate is significantly higher for people of color. White Americans make up about 6% of the unemployed, while Hispanics and Latinos make up nearly 9%, and African Americans make up 12%, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Thus, if networking is the key to landing a job in this day and age, how does that approach work for minorities? Nancy DiTommaso explores this question in her book, The American Non-Dilemma: Racial Inequality Without Racism. She's a professor and vice dean for faculty and research at Rutgers Business School. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you, David?
Very well, thank you. So when I look at these numbers and we put it in the context of networking, it makes me think, well, okay, so white people network the heck out of stuff while minorities aren't quite as proficient, or is that not the right conclusion?
Well, I don't think that that's quite the way that I would frame it. The issue about why unemployment seems to be different across these different groups may not be so much in terms of how much networking people do, but where they are placed in terms of their ability to network in a way that will lead to the kinds of outcomes that are effective in terms of getting good jobs. We still live in a very segregated society. We live in different neighborhoods, go to different schools, and even still work in different workplaces to a large extent. And whites are disproportionately in the best jobs, the highest paid jobs, the jobs with the most training, and also the jobs where people get to make decisions about who gets hired. So I found in the research that I did that 70% of the jobs that people get over their lifetimes came with some kind of additional help. Someone who could give them information that other people didn't have, could use influence on their behalf, such as, this is my friend, look out for them, or someone who could actually give them an opportunity or hire them for a job. So if Hispanics or blacks or others have higher unemployment rates, it may not be that they aren't networking, but it may be that they don't have networks that tie them into where there are job opportunities and where people can make decisions on their behalf.
But if such cronyism is rampant, that would suggest that there are white jobs and black jobs, Latino jobs and Asian jobs that are all being passed along to one's friends and mates. Is that what your research shows?
Well, it's not so much that that's what my research shows, but there's other research that does suggest that there is much less desegregation of jobs than we might believe to be the case. For example, there's a book that just came out before mine by Kevin Steinbeck and Don Tomaskovic-Devy called Documenting Desegregation that uses the EEOC-1 reports. These are the reports that are required for certain employers to report the distribution of people in different kinds of jobs in their workplaces. And they analyzed these data from 1966 to 2005 and found out that whites, particularly white men, not only retained the favorable position that they had in the labor force over this 50 years or so since the Civil Rights Movement, they actually had improved their position in the best jobs. And while there was some desegregation between white men and black men right after the Civil Rights Movement until about 1980, almost nothing changed after 1980, and that's a very long time. There's been some improvement for white women moving into professional and managerial jobs, but they still are not anywhere near on par with white men, and very little changed for black women. In fact, there's actually been some resegregation of jobs between black women and white women as white women's job prospects have improved.
Is it your sense that people are aware of this, or that this is a more subconscious trend?
Well, I think that people are not at all aware of the overall trends. I'm sure that that's the case. In terms of the individual experiences that people have, it also seems to be that people do not have a good sense of how their own experiences fit into this larger picture. For example, even though when I talked to people and got these job histories, I found that 99% of the people I talked to got 70% of the jobs that they held with this kind of inside edge. When I asked them after these job histories, so how do you think you got to the place you are in your life? What do you think most contributed to you having the kind of life you have now? They didn't say, because I knew the right people and people helped me. What they said was, because I'm smart, because I worked hard, because I got an education, because I was motivated, because I persisted. So there is this disconnect between how people experience their lives and how they actually go about living their lives.
And that suggests that this isn't going to change anytime soon.
Well, it's not going to change unless there's a tension at a public policy level in terms of how organizations think about the decision-making that takes place within their entities and in terms of, you know, support for changing the outcomes. Everyone that I talk to claim to believe in civil rights. No one thinks anyone should be discriminated against. They all think that equal opportunity is the solution or the fair way to address these kinds of issues. But everybody that I talk to spent their lives seeking unequal opportunity.
Nancy DiTommaso is a professor at Rutgers Business School and the author of The American Non-Dilemma, Racial Inequality Without Racism. Nancy, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.